Well, it's good to see all of you out this morning, and it's good to listen to Brother Savage. Certainly enjoyed that. I don't know what you do, but I try to, when somebody's up preaching, I try to say, how is that affecting me? You know what I mean? I don't know what you do. In fact, I told Brother Gabbard the first night he preached, I thought about years ago when I was in the service, I was sent to San Antonio, Texas. Well, I had a brother and sister lived in Odessa, Texas. So I went over there to see them, and my brother, he was a Second World War veteran. He always loved motorcycles, and he had an old 1947 Harley Davidson. And battery was down on it, but his wife Mabel helped me shove it, and I got it started, and I was going to ride it. And I did ride it. I rode up down through Odessa, come to this four-lane highway, and traffic was real heavy. What I didn't know, anything about suicide clutches. And back in those days, those Harley Davidson had what they called a suicide clutch. You just move it just a very little, and it fully engaged. And I was sitting there watching traffic going by, thinking maybe pretty soon they'll get lined out where I can get in, you know, and go ride it. Didn't care which way I direct, what direction I went. I just wanted to ride it. But I kind of thought I wanted to ride it north because I was out of town. And so I sat there watching, but I was easing off that all the time. Next thing I knew, that motorcycle jumped right out in the middle. Here them cars are going this way, two abreast, and I was going this way. I was trying to, and I really didn't care which direction I wanted. Then I just wanted to go with one direction, you know. And I said, Brother Johnny, when you're preaching, all of a sudden I was right in the middle of your message. Amen. I just, like I had a suicide clutch. Amen. And then last night, though, I thought about that Queen of Sheba that said that she had no spirit left in her. Yeah. Amen. We got through. It was good, wasn't it? And Brother Savage this morning, I was listening to him, and I thought, I wish I'd learned more and hadn't wasted so much of my time in my life. But I certainly enjoyed his preaching. And there's memories we can't forget. And there's questions I hope I never get answered. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, for instance, when I wake up of a day, sometime during that day, I'll think, in my years of preaching, we both got 60 years in, Brother Ellie. I started in March of 1955. And in my years of preaching, I think, have I, by some decision or some remark or some lack of taking knowledge of me, have I caused somebody to die lost? That's a terrible thought to be in your mind. Did you know that? And that's one question I hope I never find out this side of eternity or on the other side either. That's a question I hope God never answers, and I never have to find out the truth about it. Anyway, that's enough of that. And I've enjoyed the services this week. Seemed like, I don't know if what it is, but I get older. Seemed like I enjoy preaching more. Listen to other preachers, whatever. Seemed like it's such a blessing to me. And I certainly enjoyed the preaching this week. And I've enjoyed being with you. And I, to some extent, have enjoyed preaching to you. There's always that pressure and always that feeling like I didn't get it like I should have got it. But anyway, that's just one of those things. But I just certainly enjoyed being here with you, and glad Brother Randy honored me by asking me. And it was quite an honor to ask me to come preach again this year. And I certainly am thankful for that. And I want to thank you for the offering. And again, I say, if it comes between me and the support of the camp meeting, give it to the camp meeting. Amen. Because they want this to go on. We don't want them to get discouraged because the bills aren't paid and not to go on. So we want it to go on. And so just do that. Be sure and make sure they're taken care of. God has always been good to me, and I thank the Lord for it. I've not always had everything you'd like to have, but he's always been good to me. Amen. And I want to thank the Lord for helping me when I resigned the church, because I have my son, and there's a lot of expense there because I don't get any help from the government hardly. And so if I get somebody, I have to hire them. And so there's a lot of expense there, and I didn't know just how it's going to work. But just before I resigned, the home I'd had, and I'd built land together over the years, different pieces of property down there, I sold it. And the same week I sold it, I closed on a house up in West Plains, has it real close where my son's right next to me, and I don't have to walk down that steep hill down on the river trying to get to him. And it's just made it a whole lot better. And so it's helped me in that way. And then God has supplied the need, and we appreciate the Lord supplying the need. So I don't you think that I'm down here just barely making it? Amen? Amen. I'm doing well. So thank the Lord for that. Let's go for a difference. Let's change things and go to Luke 16. Well, that is different. I've been 15. I was thinking this morning, coming down the road, I said, Lord, it didn't take you 15 minutes to preach this, and I spent hours on it, you know, trying to tell people what you said. Amen. All right, Luke 16, if you would go with me. You pray for me. This is the way the Lord moved on me, and I hope I'm not wearing you out. I don't mean to, but I have to preach what I feel like the Lord laid on my heart. That's the only way I can do it. And like I said, I enjoyed Brother Savage's preaching. If I was here and I was lost, I think I'd have prayed through. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd have prayed through. Luke 16, first verse. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Now, I think it meant quickly write, maybe not sit down quickly. But anyway, sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust servant because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into their everlasting habitations. Now, I might just stop here just for a little while, because there's something I want to deal with here that I think is right. And I don't ask you to agree with me on everything, because I don't, you know, I don't know, 10 years from now, I might not agree with myself. So I'm not asking you to agree. But when it says make, it sounds like there, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitation. It sounds like you're to make friends of the mammon or the unrighteous riches of this world. That's what it sounds like. But if you look in and you don't have to turn over there, but if you look in Matthew 28, and if I can find it right quickly here, I say 28. Maybe I've got it figured out here. Let me go back 27 rather, and 29. In Matthew 27 and 29, it says this, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, that word, same word, of, is the same thing, and it has the idea in it that the use of thorns, they, by the means of thorns, that's how they made the crown. They, in other words, you see what I mean? By the means of thorns, they planted in the crown. They took the corn. And so when you look at that and you say, well, they planted they made a crown by the means of thorns or by the use of thorns, and you turn back here, then to me it makes more sense. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends by the means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into their everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also heard all these things, and they derided him. Now, I left something out there that qualifies a statement, a parenthetical clause there. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, you're they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than the one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. That's the end of my reading. But I want to talk to you a little bit about this. I feel like the Lord's will to. Because, you see, we just went through some sermons. I guess you call it Sunday school lessons. I don't know what you call it. But we just, in the 15th chapter, the Lord was showing us how heaven reacted to a sinner being saved. I'm talking about the redeemed saints that are in heaven. And I told you before, I don't believe there's just something that up there in heaven just sitting around watching the sun come up and the sun go down here or something like that. I believe they're actively engaged in worshiping God and lifting up the blood of Christ. And every time someone gets saved, they rejoice because they understand. They know more how important the blood is than you and I do. They know more how important it is that they be saved and eternal life than you and I do. They're as the angels of heaven. They have no care, complete confidence in God. Everything is great. But every time someone gets saved, amen, they rejoice over the fact that the blood is still working and still efficacious for those that are down here on this old world that we live in. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm trying to say, but I hope you do. Amen. And then he went on down and showed us how that heaven reacted. The first that reacted, as I said before, to that which was lost and knew they were lost, but didn't know what to do, how to handle it. Amen. The next was for those of the churches involved in that and finding those that look just like the rest of the church, but they're not right. Amen. They've gotten away from God. And we let our light shine and we bring people to God. Amen. Even sitting inside the church and lost out, grown cold and different, and they may still look the same, but they're just not the same because they are not a part of the body. They're pulled away from the body, and so they are not aware they're lost, and so the church is involved in that, and heaven's rejoicing. And then I showed you how the prodigal son, when he came home, amen, the saint, amen, we want to be selective, and because it didn't fit what this elder brother thought he ought to be, he wasn't ready to accept the fact that the Father could rejoice and the servants rejoice over that salvation. So Jesus here was talking to the sinners, remember? The sinners are the one that said, this man receiveth sinners, and or the Pharisees said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And I went through that Sunday yesterday, so I'll not go through it again. But what I'm trying to say, all this time he's been talking to these Pharisees. Amen. And remember I said he came not to save the righteous, amen, but he came to seek and to save that which is lost. But remember this, the Lord had kind of a strange way, and I may have mentioned this to you, but he said, except you believe that I am, you shall all die in your sins. Amen. But he talked to them like, look, I'm reaching for the sinners. They didn't know where they was lost. Amen. but they were lost. And so he's talking to them. But when he comes to this, the Bible said he starts talking to his disciples. And I feel like that's important for us to realize that it's the same discourse, but now he's turned his attention from those Pharisees and he's talking to the disciples. And he starts telling them this fact of life. The Bible said, the Bible up here at the top of my Bible says the parable. I don't know if it's a parable or not. He wasn't in the habit usually of talking to his disciples in parables. Probably he knew someone that played this out just like he said. And so I want to try to preach to you, and I know it's kind of hard to get into it. A lot of it you've heard before, and you'll be kind of weary with that. But I feel necessary to talk to you because there's something in here that will help us if we'll listen. I feel like to what the word of the Lord has to say to us. You know, the Bible said in Proverbs 11 and 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. And so we can see here what I'm talking to you at this point is the fact the importance of souls have been talked about in the 15th chapter, but now we've moved to the 16th chapter, and he's dealing with the importance of winning those souls and getting those souls saved and getting their sins forgiven and getting them in the kingdom of God. And so I want to help you if I possibly can. I looked at this, and I've got some things written down. If this servant was falsely accused, that's what someone said. I don't know that, but they tell me that word accused came from the same word that we get devil from. It's a traducer. Someone falsely accused him. You say, Brother Charles, I really don't see how that could be. Amen. I'm not a Greek scholar. Brother Savage, I'm sure, could help with this, but I didn't think to ask him before we got into this. But I do want to remind you that in Matthew 5 and 11, when it's talking, Jesus said this, and I want you to listen to it, what he said. The Bible says in 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So we do know that the Lord told us that whenever if we live for God, we're going to be lied on. That song last night, they've been lied on different things. That's really the truth. Amen. We're looked at as though we're some kind of imposter. We're some kind of person that's out just to make money off of people, especially preachers. They just feel like that we're out there just living off of the other people. We're just leeches. You know, we don't really serve any purpose. I told you about, I think, my brother-in-law. I was in a barbershop getting a haircut. My brother-in-law went to making fun of me and talking about how easy I had it made because I was preaching. One reason why he's mad, because he knew when he got his haircut, the barber's going to give me the ties off of it. And so that was making him mad because the barber was saved going to my church. And finally, I looked at him. I said, look, I said, if it's so easy, just let me know. I know three or four churches need a pastor right now. He just shut up and settled down. But until then, even as far as he was concerned, when he's talking now, I never worked. I never done anything. Amen. You know, I just out there getting money and not doing a thing about it. So one of the things we have to overcome is the fact that the world is going to look at us and misunderstand us and lie on us. We're going to have to live under the shadow of being accused of things we've never been guilty of, we've never done, amen, with things that's never happened in our life. We'll have to live with that. We've just got to live that. But you got to remember, amen, that we got something we've got to take care of in spite of that. Is that all right? I hope it is. Amen. While we cannot, while you cannot trust the uncertainty of riches, you can trust the word of God. Now, I know I'm kind of jumping around. I'm not doing very good this morning, but I'm doing the best I can. Look what he said. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. He's telling these disciples, he's talking to them, look. He said, now I want you to understand, you can trust the word of God. You can trust that. You may be lied on. You can't trust the uncertainty of riches, but you can trust the word of God. And you got to remember this. We're not living under the same economy. It isn't the fact where you're Jews and you got Jewish babies and they're born under the law and they're automatically a part of the church, and they automatically come under the sacrifices, the various observances of the church. You're going to be dealing with people that are lost and don't know anything about God. But remember this, you can always trust the word of God, amen? And you got to preach to people that they can't just depend on the fact that they were born in some household and they're saved. They got to press their way in. They got to exercise their will. They can't just wait for God to come along and just pull them out, throw them up in the altar. You got to make them understand they have a will. They've got a right to exercise that will, and God not go beyond that will. If they don't press in, they'll not be saved. Hallelujah. 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 Thank the Lord. I'm trying to work back to something. I hope you'll help me. Verse 18, I read that to you about whosoever puts away his wife, marries another, commits adultery. Whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. Now, I'm not here to preach on that, but here's what I want to say. I believe this to have a spiritual application. And the reason why I do is because this whole thing has a spiritual application. He's taken something in the natural and he's applied it to the spiritual. And I believe this to have a spiritual application. If we, amen, we are quick to see the lack of love and faithfulness in the home that causes divorce, but we're slow to see unfaithfulness in money matters that causes us to lose out with God. Notice verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So when he said this about the adultery part, he was having a spiritual application. Amen. There is a spiritual fornication. The Bible teaches that in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Amen. That they were to abstain from things offered to idols and from blood and various things that would connect you with a spiritual fornication. And he's telling us right here, he's telling them, he said, you're quick to see this matter, a lack of love in the home, a lack of fidelity, a lack of faithfulness. But he said, if you love the unrighteousness of riches of this world more than me, you're guilty of spiritual fornication, and you can't hold on like that. You're doing wrong, and it's against God's word, and it's God's will, amen, for you to put your money before your master. Hallelujah. You know, what I believe? I believe these men took that to heart. I really do. And I want to, tomorrow's going to be better, I can tell you right now. All right. But look at this. Acts 2:43-45. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. I believe this message that he took to them and taught them concerning the souls of men and how important they were, I believe that got locked in their mind, and when the Holy Ghost fell, they had such a love for God and love for his word and love for the men and people of God and for the humanity in general, amen, that they said, I'll sell this and I'll sell that. I'll put it into the a work of God, and they had a great revival and a great harvest of soul because they heard what the Lord said about that unjust steward, and they said, the world may accuse us of everything, but I know one thing. I know how. Amen. To get this job done, I'm going to give until God moves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me read again. I'm reading also in the same book, the same fourth chapter, verses 33-35. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace is upon them all. Neither was any among them lack, for as many as had Many were possessors of lands or houses, sold them, brought the price of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Do you wonder why they took the world by storm? I know that Peter told in that next chapter, told Ananias that they still owned what they had. Is up to them to give it freely or not. It was not communism, amen. It's not that, but the very fact that they took everything they thought they could turn loose of, and they used it to get the gospel out. And if I understand it right here in the 17th chapter or 16th chapter of the book of St. Luke, that's exactly what he's teaching his disciples here. Amen. He's teaching them to give to help reach the lost and get people saved before it's eternally too late. Amen. I'm trying to preach to you. Notice verse 9. Jesus tells his disciples how to use their money. Verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, make yourselves friends by the means of mammon and righteousness, that when you fail," that is when you die, that's what that word means, "they may receive you into everlasting habitations," or tabernacles. Listen. Everlasting. Listen. Well, how can you do that? You got to get them saved. It must be salvation. I know you think, well, you know, here's something that you may not believe, and I'm not asking you to believe it, but I believe it myself. Amen. I think that the unjust steward, we call him that because of the accusation against him. I think he used money that he'd saved up to help pay those debts. Now, why do you say that, Brother Charles? Because the Bible said the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. Amen. They wouldn't have made fun of him if he told about some steward that was so sharp and crafty that he got all the debts paid for those people around him, amen, without spending anything themselves. They'd admired him. He got everything paid off. Well, ain't that wonderful? That's great. But they knew what Jesus was teaching, that when he said you pay 80, he said, "I'm going to pay the 20. When you pay 50, I'm going to pay the other 50. I'm going to use my money, amen, as long as I can." He wasn't just dealing with two. The Bible said all the creditors, amen. "I'll make up the lack. I'll pull in the slack. Amen. You pay this and I'll pay the rest." I'm telling you again, this is a lesson to us today to tell us, amen, if you want revival, you got to realize it's going to cost you something. Brother, we talk about wanting revival. We talk about how great it is to have revival. But I'm telling you, I'm afraid that we're waiting so late to have revival because of the fact we don't want it to cost us anything. Hallelujah. You know, I guess maybe you can do it now, but used to. Pastor a little church. It didn't matter if you pastor a little church. If you got ready for revival, felt like the Lord's will, somebody come along, preach. Let's have revival. And you'd have revival. But now you say, well, let's see. Brother John, Sister Mary, they're going out on the lake this week. And they won't be here. And you start counting noses. And pretty soon you find out if you're going to have revival, going to be by yourself pretty well. Because everybody's got something planned. There was a time when if we felt God, like God was moving, we just throw all of our plans to one side. We just throw it to one side. Put everything away and get in and have revival. The souls of men were important. And this is what Jesus is telling them about that unjust steward. He looked things around. He said, "I ain't got enough to get through life. But if I can help those get their debts paid, then I'll have so many friends that whenever I get in need, they'll supply that need." And Jesus said, "Make yourselves friends by the means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you die, there'll be a home in heaven waiting for you, and there'll be those souls on the other side that you helped win, and they'll be encourage you to come on." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching that people can't be rich, but the Bible said that they trust not in the uncertainty of riches. I'm saying you can be rich, but I'm saying there's something else. I'm telling you, my friend, that if we're ever going to have a move of God, we're going to have to look at, first of all, and see how heaven reacts to souls being saved. And then we're going to have to look to the fact that our Lord turned the disciples and he said, now I've told you them all this. You've listened to what I've told them, how heaven loves seeing souls saved. Now I'm telling you that if you're going to have revival, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice in the face of people telling you how sorry you are and how you aren't concerned and you don't take care of your family right and you don't take care of this and that right. They're going to accuse you of everything in the world. You're just going to have to buck up and straighten up your shoulders and you're going to have to say, I'm going to have revival. I'm going to see my loved ones saved. I'm going to see my neighbors saved. I'll pay the price. Amen. I'll do it. I'll pull in. I'll do whatever it takes because I want God to move in this last day before it's too late. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo! Glory. I know this ain't good preaching, but I don't hurt your preacher's feelings, but I'll tell you, we're getting so full of satisfying ourselves.
Yeah.
Huh? We say we want to see souls get saved. Amen. If I can have some get together for men, give the prizes, have a big time, we'll go spend hundreds of dollars. We'll have a good time. We get our prizes. We go home fat and well fed and thinking how wonderful it is. We look at the Holy Spirit and see where somebody's trying to start a church. It never occurs to us. Amen. We could all get together, go down there and spend the same money, knock on doors and pray in that church until God moved. It never occurs to us. But why? Because we're using our money for ourselves. Amen. We don't realize. You say, Brother Charles, you get can't be. No, I think the best thing in the world. I'm for them. But I'm telling you, I'm against things that only satisfies myself, that I, because I've got the money, I can spend and buy and do and enjoy, amen, and leave others sitting out there that has no hope, no help, amen, different people. You know what? I think a different time. I hope you all forgive me, but I feel so convicted when I get to thinking about the years I've pastored, the years I've put in serving the Lord, and I've pastored lots of years. I probably, maybe even more than Brother Savage, I'm not sure. I'd have to think about it. But we're close, amen. But when I think of how little I've done to help the missionaries and help those out there that are trying to start a new work, help those trying to do something for God, and I think how awful, amen, my report card is on that, I pray God will have mercy on me, and I hope he has somehow will erase that from my mind of the failing that I've been to him. I'm not preaching you. I'm preaching myself. We say we want revival. When I first got saved, if you heard of revival and you had the money to go, you was there. Didn't matter if your church or whose church. You went there. You got in, you prayed around the altar. You worked. You done everything you could. Amen. I remember I've told this before. Brother Vernon Howe, big old tall fella. Amen. He's still alive. He's a Second World War veteran. But he's still alive. But I got saved. I was just young. Me and him was over at Victoria Mission where Brother Ezra was pastoring one night. Okay, come time for the altar call. We're sitting on the front right there by kind of where that brother is there. We're sitting there. Amen. We don't know who's there. But I looked at Vernon and I said, let's join hands and believe that God's going to save somebody tonight. Hallelujah. He reached out and grabbed my hand. We started praying and believing God that God would move on some sinner. The next thing I heard, I noticed a stir. Here come a man up here, knelt down and got saved. Amen. It wasn't because of the fact it's my church. It wasn't because of the fact it's where I'm going. It's because there was a soul there that was lost and God wanted to save him. I'm telling you, amen, we go to each other's churches to be courteous. Amen. We try to make at least one day a week. Amen. You know, so we can be courteous. But there was a time, my friend, when if you had revival, you could look around in our country. If I was at Midway, I could look around. There'd be Brandsville there. There'd be Calvary there. There'd be Junction Hill there. There'd be Willow Springs there. Amen. They're coming down. What are they doing? They're wanting to see souls saved. They're wanting to have see God help. Amen. But when you have revival now, you look around. There's a pastor from Calvary. There's a pastor from Junction Hill. There's a pastor from Willow. There's a pastor from Brandsville. That might have been me. We make it one night and we feel like we've done all we can do to help that revival. I wish we could wake up and realize, amen, if judgment falls on this whole world, they call the United States of America, it may be partly our fault because we lost the desire to see heaven shout over the redemption of the lost men, women, boys, and girls. I hope I'm not messing you up here. Amen. Money. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. One fellow told me one time, he said, I'd like to have revival, but said, this is the time when all of them go to Colorado elk hunting. Said, can't have it right now. And I'm guilty, Brother Randy. I'm guilty. Last year, I've been holding pastoring church. I've looked at things and I've counted who wouldn't be there if I had revival. I said, well, I'll just put it off. I have. I'm guilty of that. I wonder if God puts things off. Amen. I wonder. Now, I'm not against hunting. I'm not against fishing. I'm not against recreation. I'm not against ministers getting together. But whenever we sacrifice everything for ourselves and do nothing for the cause of the kingdom of Christ, I think we need to reevaluate our position. Amen? I think we need to reevaluate. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. I'm not against you having a good boat. I'm not against any of that stuff. But I'm telling you, amen, there comes a time whenever we feel a pastor gets up and we say we've had a good service. I feel like we need to go in revival this week. Amen. You get up the next morning and you call your cousin and you say, look, cuz, amen, I know we had a fishing trip planned this week, but something very important has come up and I can't be there. And he said, well, what is it? It's the winning of the lost to Jesus. How about coming to church? Amen. We can't go fishing, but how about us going to church? I don't think God would be dishonored if we, I feel good about that. I'd like to see the Lord have us one more time to realize how important church is, how important revival is, how important lost souls is, amen. I'd like to see the Lord get us a place, amen, where a bunch of preachers would get together and say, so-and-so's trying to start a church off down that little old town. It's rough, no help, hardly coming, anybody coming. Why don't we go down there and spend a week, amen, with him? We'll go on our own expense. We'll pay our own way. We'll get down there. Amen. If we're too old to visit, we'll get down and pray. We'll seek God till God comes and works a work and starts one more holiness church. If holiness right, then it's worth us, amen, getting out and pushing it and telling the world you need a church like this in your community. Hallelujah. Now, you may be like me. You may have different things. Did you ever go to church? You found it hard to sit there. I was in a church. Preacher's preaching. Preaching good. Nothing wrong. But a little something had happened way back years ago. And I just was kind of turned off. I went because I respected the man as having him and what have you, but I didn't like respect the man as preaching. And I sat there miserable. I'm honest with you. I'm an old preacher and sat there miserable because I want a different preacher. Huh? And I got to praying. And I got to praying. I said, God, help me to see like you see. And hear like you hear. Amen. I got to praying that way. Praying, God, help me. God, help me. And things got a little better. It really did. But that night when I went home, I got to thinking that went along with my praying. And I thought of Paul. And I'm now, when I read this to you, don't you think that I'm backing up? Amen. I still love holiness, don't you? Amen. Brother Johnny, they say preach holiness. I told him, I thought you just touched it, went on. I didn't know you just really leveled down and shot us. I guess I enjoyed it so much, forgot to be worried about it. But anyway, I went home and I got to thinking. And Paul got to talking about Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction. You ever endure that? Brother, I did. When I was just young, amen, and I went back to that church there, Bransville, where I just resigned from years and years ago. And I went back there and I told the pastor, I said, now you're going to try to take this in the assembly. But I said, I'm not here to hurt you. And I ain't going to do one thing to stop you from preaching. I'm for it. But you ain't taking this in the assembly. I nearly had a nervous breakdown, worked night and day, borrowed money on my own name to get that church built. And I said, you ain't taking this in the assembly. Now, you can be for the assembly, you can be assembly, that's fine with me. You can be Baptist, that's fine with me. But I'm independent, I'll just tell you. I was freeborn, I've been that way ever since, amen. So anyway, so I told him that. And he got up and preached. He's an old Assembly of God preacher, R.C. Walker. How many times, I think I've told this, it's in the book of Jeremiah. There's scriptures in Jeremiah that says, what have I done? And he'd say, Brother Johnny, he'd say, I was out in the yard this afternoon, and the Lord just laid this in my heart. I saw it in the Bible. I want to preach on this. What have I done? And he's old enough, he forgot he preached it just a couple of Sundays before that. And he preached, and he said, Charles Barnett, it's your fault that this church is in the mess it's in. Charles Barnett, he called my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, when he's preaching, I'd say, amen. When he said that, I'd say, help him, Lord. Bless him. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, that went for days and months. One day he turned the gun the other way. And he didn't stay long after that. And later God moved that church that most of them got saved unto me. Amen. Asked me to come back and pastor that church. After they wouldn't even shake my hand for months. Nobody shook my hand. Nobody. Nobody. I'm not saying one or two. I'm saying nobody. Not one soul. All right. But I'll never forget. I'll have to tell this because it's just so good. I'll never forget. We was going to church there. Come there, I told my wife, I said, they're going to have another split. She said, they are. And I said, yeah, I was reading the Bible, and God spoke to me. He said, they're going to split the 6 month and the 6 day. And sure enough, they did. I didn't know they were having a meeting that night, but they did. And so we come to church, and the piano player left, and I know you've heard this. But let me tell you one more time. And the piano player left, and they got up front around the piano, and they got talking among themselves. And pretty soon they cleared the throat. They said, Brother Charles, do you play? I said, well, all I can do is chord. Because they knew that. Because before we got a piano player, I was the fellow that played the chords, you know. I said, all I can do is chord. And so they kind of mumbled among themselves. Said, would you come play for us? Now, I wasn't pastor then. I was just going to church. I said, sure, I'd be glad to. I went up there and sat down to that old piano. And the power of God fell, and women started crying and worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Some indeed preach Christ envy of strife, some also goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my bonds. You take if your name's being called out about every other service. And you're told you're the cause of all the problem. That's pretty heavy bonds, I'll tell you for sure. Amen. But the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preaching. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Wow. And when I thought of that scripture, Brother Savage, I thought of my grandson down at Cherry Point, North Carolina, in the Marines. It was a Sunday night. He went to church with a gunny sergeant. And Brother Jeffrey, amen, he went up front, the evangelist priest, and he went up front and prayed. he prayed. The next day, his life was so different there at the Marine base. They thought something wrong with him. 3 days later, when the news comes, he's found sitting beside the road, been killed. The gunny sergeant said, I thought maybe he'd committed suicide because he acted so different. You know? Hallelujah. And here's what came to me. If that man was preaching over there at that other church over there, worldly church over there, I wouldn't set my foot inside the door. I wouldn't bother. But if I knew that man was the man that preached the night my grandson got saved and died 3 days later, I'd be courteous. Brother Don, I'd go over there. I'd go over there. I'd sit down. I may not agree with everything you're saying, but I agree with one thing. And I can't help but drive by church. And they may not be living right, may not be doing right. But I say, oh, God, if somebody comes in there and they don't know you, let them get enough word to get saved. You can lead them later on. I'm not here to undermine holiness. I'm here simply to say, amen, that helped me. That helped me, amen. That helped me. I thought, if I can look over some of that guy's faults for what he's done, I believe I can look over those other faults. Because except for the grace of God, I'd have been the one that did it, not him. Huh?
That's right.
This ain't good preaching, is it? It's just preaching. I'm trying to talk to you about the wonderful opportunity we have to work with God to get souls saved.
Right.
And the best thing, to get them in a church where the truth is preached. Amen. It's lived. The truth is lived. And the power of God is present. And the Holy Ghost moves. And miracles come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to talk to you. Amen. Jesus said to that one, make yourself by the means. Use that money that God gives you to reach the lost, to do what you can. And again, I'm not telling you to go without or anything like that. I'm simply saying there's a lot of times when we can just not spend on ourselves and, put it out just one more time to see God move and reach some soul. I feel like the reward will be greater. Amen. Hallelujah. I love fish. I love fish, but I don't expect to see any Fred's Fish House in West and Heaven. I don't expect to see any Captain D's. I don't expect to see any seafood place where I can eat all the shrimp and raw oysters. You love, oh, they're wonderful, aren't they? And just eat all that alone, amen. I don't expect to see that, but I'll tell you one thing. That old boy that got saved when he was 78 years old, amen. Still going to church, living in God. Brother, I expect to see him on the other side. Hallelujah. I say to yourself, make friends by the means of the unrighteous mammon, that when you die, they'll receive you into their everlasting tabernacles or habitations. I've done my best. Hallelujah. 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 Well, when I first heard holiness, I thought it's something new. Said, I'll go down and take a look, see just what they do. Well, I went back again. One of the things that made me love holiness was the way they loved each other. Huh? Hallelujah. And loved their fellow man. And I'm telling you something, we don't know it, but we got preachers right here this morning. They're sitting there and you're thinking about how easy they got it made. But I'll tell you what, I guarantee, and I ain't going to have to prove it, but I guarantee you there's been times when they pulled a bill out of her pocket to help some other preacher that's going down the road when they really couldn't hardly afford to do it, but they felt like they needed it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something else. Amen. We got Brother Curtis Phillips here. He's evangelist. Brother Jeffrey Dykes is evangelist. Are there any other evangelists here? Amen. I'm overlooking. Amen. Vanish is right back here. Amen. My glasses aren't that good. But I'll tell you something. Those old boys that are living, trying to serve the Lord and preaching, amen, a 10 spot, a 5 spot, a 20 spot, just whatever, amen, that wouldn't hurt a thing. That wouldn't hurt a thing, would it? Huh? Hallelujah. Just get them down the road a little farther. Amen. They might reach your son, your daughter, your cousin. Whatever, they might reach your grandchild. You never know. Amen. Well, I've done the best I could. Where's Brother Robert? Brother Robert, can you get us a song here and sing something? I think it'd be good for us to come and rededicate our lives to the seeking of the lost. Amen. Hallelujah. Rededicate ourselves and say, Lord, help me. Amen. I told you before, I'm not here with no sad stories. The Lord has took care of me and helped me, and I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord. It's miraculous how God has helped me. Amen. And I look back the time, though, whenever I couldn't buy shoes for my feet, hardly. Amen. Didn't have any food except what I raised in the garden. Didn't have any tars except what I took from those that threw them away after they wore them on the hay wagon. Started out preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. I didn't know what it was to have a suit or anything like it. Just a pair of khaki boots, a pair of khaki pants, and a pair of used cowboy boots. Finally, I bought for $5. And I was so glad to get them because the old cloth shoes I was wearing had milk in them. And they soured so bad I couldn't go home with anybody because they stunk so bad. Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. You, somebody say, well, you preacher, you don't dress too good. Y'all see what started out. Let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to open the altar. And it's just this way. And just pray, God, give us that old time holiness, generosity one more time to reach the lost at any cost. Amen. Sing, brother, sing.
The woman of Samaria at the well for me waits to bring her salvation. I must go out of my way. He went out of his way to show how much he loved her. Out of his way to show how much he cared, he went out of his way to bring grace and mercy when she needed him the most. He went out of his way. He went out of his way to show how much he loved her. Out of his way to show how much he cared. He went out of his way to bring grace and mercy when she needed him the most. He went out of his way. My life was in shambles, my world upside down. Every day brought new heartache, no peace could be found. At an old